My name is Diva Woodley. I'm a doctoral student in political science here at the University of Chicago. I study media and democracy. I've also had some experience as a magazine editor and writer, and generally as a publicist for several different organizations. I also work for the Civic Knowledge Project, which is a program of the Humanities Division here with Dean Danielle Allen, who you may have heard of, who's a brilliant professor of political science and classics here, who has a vision for how to bring the University of Chicago and its resources and the community, particularly the humanities organizations or cultural and arts organizations on the south side, together. So this workshop is one of the programs of the Civic Knowledge Project, and I am pleased to have you all here. So it's not a seminar, it's not a class. I will not be lecturing at very many moments in the process of this workshop. What we want to do is work through the real problems that people have with publicity, advertising, creating events, getting in contact with the press that occur in their cultural and arts organizations, right? So it's a workshop. I'm here to facilitate and help you, and also you all are here to facilitate and help each other, right, as we go on. Because, you know, this requires practice more than anything. You know, it doesn't take great talent to apply media resources. What it takes is practice, familiarity, and knowing the basics. So that's what we want to do in this workshop, is get a good foundation in the basics, do some applied exercises, right, and work through some real publicity problems, right, as we go on. This class, what we want to work on, or what I would like us to work on, is press releases, right? And you'll see that press releases are the third step down in your five-step sort of guide. But we begin here because the first two steps actually require homework. And I didn't want to sort of, you know, since we were just starting out, this is simple, basic, concrete, and a wonderful place to start. Right. So let's go ahead and begin. Now I want to begin this piece by going over the tips as they're written here, and then we're going to follow up with some more detailed information about the problems that you guys are facing, the publicity problems that you all are facing in your organizations, right? As starting up your organizations, doing annual events, right, that you might want to publicize in a new way. And we're just going to talk about that for a little while, and then we're going to follow that up with the reading of some sample press releases, which are also in your packet, right? And then doing a quick in-class exercise where you draft some press releases of your own, right? Using the tools that we've talked about, okay? So that's how it'll go. So if you'll just kind of read along with me under step three, okay? Write and distribute a press release. A good press release answers the five W's: who, what, when, where, and why. It's not an advertisement, but instead an informational tool. It should provide the press with concise and useful details about your organization, event, or story. Here are some tips. Start strong, okay? You got a matter of seconds to grab the attention of the reporter. The reporter is sitting at their desk, and if it's Monday, they're sitting at their desk actually looking at your press release. If it's Friday, they're not gonna get to it till Monday. And they're going through a bunch of these. Many of them have been faxed to no one in particular, you know? So you have a few minutes to capture their interest, and that's it. So you have to have a clear headline, a precise headline, and a nice, strong, clear opening paragraph, okay? Pick an angle. This is one of the toughest things to do, because normally when we talk about our events, we have a couple of minutes and face-to-face time to really kind of explain what we're doing and, you know, use nonverbal cues and all these other things that make it easier to explain things. But in a press release, you just got the black and white page. You got to pick an angle that catches the writer's interest, right? So that they can see pretty clearly and upfront why they should care about your story, why they should pay attention to it now, and what the hook is, right? You know, why it'd be interesting to a wider public, okay? Stick to the facts, okay? This one is very difficult, because often when we're writing text for a general audience, what we'll do is throw in a bunch of flowery adjectives. that really don't mean anything, but sound pretty and kind of fulfill our need to be creative writers. And I fully understand that need. But in press releases, you really should stick to the facts, right? It's an informational document. It's not an advertisement. We will be talking about different ways, right, of getting the word out, which includes, right, PSAs, advertisements, campaigns. And sometimes those are better, those are always better places, right, for creative tricks of language, right? But in press releases, you just want to stick to the facts. You want to get it out there. Okay, another point that goes right along with sticking to the facts is use active voice, okay? This one's a little bit tough because oftentimes we speak in passive voice, right? So active voice, what I mean by that is verbs in the active voice, which are, do people know what I mean by verbs in the active voice? Right? So not passive voice verbs, not verbs that are conjugations of the verb to be, right? And I have a few examples here. So instead of using phrases anchored by being verbs, which allow you to avoid the subject of the sentence, right? It was seen, we thought, it would, there was thought to be, you know, that allow you to get around the who, what, when, where, why questions, right? You need to use active voice, right, which usually attribute action to an agent, okay? So the two examples here, and you have the relevant verbs underlined in each sentence, right, is the incident was seen to be extremely controversial, right? It was seen by whom? Why? Where? Okay? That doesn't actually, it's not an information-filled sentence, right? Whereas, if you construct the same basic information, right, in an active way, community members reacted to the amendment with skepticism and anger, right? You have who did it, right? You have how they reacted, okay? So always use the active voice and avoid the passive voice, okay? Beware of jargon. This is relevant to any kind of specialist, right? If you're an artist, if you're working particularly in one segment of the nonprofit world, if you're a historian or an archivist, every specialization has its own little words and phrases, right, that are used inside that specialization or profession. Avoid them, you know? Try to speak in plain and general terms, right, that can be understood by, you know, any kind of interested, you know, person who might be reading your press release. Okay, use correct grammar. This one is very, 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 very important. And usually using correct grammar is just a matter of proofreading, right? Be sure that you follow the basic rules of style of, you know, the MLA or the Chicago Manual of Style, or, you know, if you need a guide like that. And if not, it often helps to just have someone else read your press release, right? And of course, you know, using correct grammar, just it makes a professional opinion, particularly people who are professional writers, right? It'll distract them if your grammar's not correct. It'll distract from the content of what you've sent them, from the information that you've sent them, okay? And then the last tip, right, is to keep it short. Even though when we're working really hard on whatever campaign, whatever message, whatever event we're doing, it can be very easy to go on and on about specifics and minutia and impressions and various other things. It's really important in a press release to keep it as short as possible. My guiding principle is always one page. Now, there are long form press releases that you can do that are a little bit longer than that. And one of the examples in your booklet is of a press release that's a page double-sided, right, including a schedule. But in general, I would say that a page is the way to go, right? You can see even in looking at those two different sample press releases, the one is more intimidating than the other, right? So now what I want to do is to get a little bit deeper into what it is we're actually working with. So in terms of what kinds of events, right, what kinds of problems, what kinds of campaigns you all are working on in your organizations. because that's a major part of what we're going to do is actually work through the things that you're working on, right? So anybody can start. We don't necessarily have to, you know, everybody doesn't have to share, although if everyone would like to, that'd be great. We just need some examples to work with and you know, to sort of get out there where we are, so.
A fundraising campaign for a park to sell bricks, which is a pretty popular one in the city. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to do it at some point in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Okay.
One of our elementary schools did a Real Men Read, and we had almost 40 men that signed up to read, and I wanted the press to print the story because they always print the bad news. I wanted good news out there.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that doggone thing, got some compliments on it, but I couldn't get anybody to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something our schools need, especially this particular school, because it has no resources, has no social services, and if you would see that playground, you'd all join me in trying to get a new one.
Was it a fundraiser or?
No, it was just sharing that even the commander of the 3rd District came out and adopted one of the classrooms, and he was reading, and it was businessmen and just men from mm-hmm. all walks of life that decided to come to school and read with the young people. And one of the guys who is a real estate broker went because I persuaded him, and he told me he doesn't give up his barbershop appointment for anybody, but he did. And when he finished, he had a special ed group, and they all asked him, will you be our teacher? And so he continued to read every month, and they asked him to be the keynote speaker for the 8th grade graduation. And he told me this all happened because he finally he said yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't get the press to bite it, so at least, you know, they could see mm-hmm. how the community mm-hmm. was coming into the school to provide some additional resources and trying to make a difference in the school.
That's great.
And I don't know.
Okay.
It did work. I can bring that press release because I worked hard on it, but it one page.
Okay. Do we have other people who are working on things, or could we? Okay, great. So I wanted to draw your attention to these sheets, not only because they're a source of information, right? These are by far, not all of the media outlets in each different form of media that are available in Illinois and Chicago, but these are the ones that I selected because they do a good job of doing local coverage, or because they're Southside oriented, you know, or because you know, they have readily available information online or by phone. So, you know, there are more complete listings, and I can even get you a more complete list, but this is a nice sort of place to start, particularly for your homework next week, which is to be a good media consumer. But it's also, I also want to draw your attention to these sheets because I want to say that all the media are not uniform, right? Each different form of medium has to be approached in a different way, okay? And today we're going to be focusing on print media. Now, you also can send press releases to television and radio stations, right? But I think that print media is particularly receptive to press releases in terms of it's a major source of the way that they get the stories that they're gonna run, right? Usually they're dailies, so their production schedule is much quicker. You know, they're just gonna consume that information a lot faster, okay? Radio is sort of the next most receptive to press releases. Television usually is better to approach in a cold call, right? Because talking to a person and actually getting a contact, I mean, usually you have to develop a relationship with someone if you're going to get your information on television, right? Yeah, so I just wanted to point that out. We'll spend more time for sort of medium-specific approaches, right, to publicity later. But I did want to point out that what we're doing right now is specifically focused on the print press and then secondarily the radio press. Okay. All right. So we've talked about several different events, or you all have brought to the table several different kinds of events that you're interested in doing public relations around, right? Okay, so Rondi brought up a fundraising campaign, right? A pretty straightforward fundraising campaign, something that, a concept, right, that people are relatively familiar with, buy bricks at the park, you know, give money for the maintenance and restoration and improvement of the park, right? So this kind of campaign, in terms of the steps that we went over, how is it, let's sort of go through the steps on this campaign, right? How would we start strong? What kind of angle will we pick, right? What facts need to be included, right? And how do we keep it short and concise, okay?
And the angle is going to be the why?
The angle is, yes, the angle is the why, but also the what kind can also be. In this instance, it's not as important because people are kind of familiar with the idea, right? You don't have to explain, as you might in the second example that we'll be dealing with, Real Men Read, what that means. Like, what does that entail, right? For the brick buying, it's different. It's a little bit straightforward. So the why is the good place to focus.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it's a tough one in this one. I actually... Let's skip mine and go on to hers. I think hers is much more interesting.
Okay. But just to sort of do a quick rundown, because sometimes we will be doing straightforward fundraising event. Yeah. We all have to fundraise, right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would be a fundraising, be an event? Why would be for the specific item the money's going to go toward? Mm-hmm. In our particular case, we're getting... statue, a big piece of sculpture is being donated, but we have to do the base. So I think we have to do the base. So we've gotten this wonderful, and maybe there's part of the hook, we've gotten this wonderful donation from a local resident, but we need to do the base. I'm not sure how we'll do the when and the who, but it would probably be an afternoon, a Saturday afternoon mm-hmm. event.
Okay. What kind of event would it be?
Bring your checkbook.
Well, this is why I wanted to do this one, right? Because the fundraising is one of those things, particularly with a sort of a routine way of fundraising like this, that's actually an ongoing process, right? It might be limited in time. It might be for a week or for a month or for 6 months, right? But press releases are actually event-oriented. So in order to write a press release about a fundraiser, you have to design an event, right, around the fundraiser. Now, that doesn't mean for every fundraising campaign you need an event, right? There are other ways to publicize about fundraising. But if you were going to do, meaning that, you know, other ways, including public service announcements in your local papers, right? If you can, you know, commercials or announcements on particularly public access television, right? Campaigns that have to do with t-shirts and bumper stickers and flyers and buttons, like, these are other ways to do fundraising. But if you want to do a fundraising campaign with a kickoff event, then you're going to have to write a press release about it, right? So I just wanted to kind of highlight that, right?
I have a more basic question, but when is it or why is it appropriate to use a press release as the vehicle to get out the information?
About fundraising?
About an event, let's say. I mean, why not run an advertisement, for example? Why is a press release the appropriate vehicle?
Because advertisements are expensive. And for small cultural and arts organizations, there are plenty of low-cost or no-cost ways, right? To get the word out. I mean, ideally, it would be wonderful to run, you know, a multi-city ad campaign, right, for everything you do. But for the most part, we can't afford to do that. Even taking out an ad in the Reader is quite expensive, right? So that's what we're focused on. Since we're doing small arts things mostly, right, small organizations things, we're going to be doing low-cost or no-cost ways to get the word out.
But aren't press releases usually for some kind of really newsworthy thing, like someone gets hired to be the CEO of Sears or something? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, is a press release for, let's say, a fundraising event mm-hmm. something that anyone's going to pick up or care about? Or mm-hmm. how do you...
Oh, yes.
That's a great... No, it's a great question. Well, yeah. See, and that's the right answer, right? Newsworthiness is not an objective question, right? Whether something is newsworthy depends on quite a few different things, right? It depends. Yeah, right. What are some of the kinds of things that it can depend on? you know, what makes something newsworthy today? Yeah, who's benefiting? Is the story touching? Does it fit into, you know, a wider national debate? You know, is it related to a story that's just broken on the front page of the New York Times? You know, is it connected to a scandal? You know, is it heartwarming? I mean, you know, is it newsworthy? Well, it is if you say it is, and you say it convincingly. And that's part of what we're going to be doing in this workshop, is learning how to cast our events as newsworthy. Because as people who work hard in not-for-profit organizations, we know that everything we do is newsworthy, right? But we have to make sure that we can communicate that to other people. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah.
How far in advance
do you have? A very good question. At least 1 week, and preferably two, right? Further in advance than that, and it's too far in advance, okay?
I just think the longer that you work at your projects, more people will know about it. To send a press release is a good step, but when you first get started, they're not gonna be interested. The more that, you know, your projects build and your audience builds, then they'll get interested just because of the numbers of people that are interested. You know, that's how the media is. It's like a popularity contest. Who are you? Who knows you? If enough people know you, then they're going to want to chime in because that's going to bring, you know, them more attention. So I don't think that you have to just sweat them, you know, so much. It's really going to be a game with, you know, your building efforts over time.
But you know, I'm not sure, because we did our 10th annual Juneteenth celebration this year, and there was a person who was supposed to be sending out the press release, and they wrote about Juneteenth well, I'm a subscriber to the trip. They wrote about Juneteenth, and around Juneteenth, I do start mm-hmm. buying Defender as well. Mm-hmm. But they wrote about it on a Wednesday, mm-hmm. and I think the Sun-Times wrote about it Tuesday. Juneteenth is a state holiday. Mm-hmm. Thanks to our efforts, the third Saturday in June is a state holiday. Mm-hmm. I went to a convention for events coordinators, and as I sat in the room and introduced myself to a room of about 60 people, nobody knew it was a state holiday. Mm-hmm. So we've been celebrating for 10 years. The Black Caucus comes. Various other politicians make sure that they come. We now have bands coming. We have a battle of the bands and a lot of other things. Chicago Public Schools, a number of 27 schools participate. A lot of other organizations participate. How then do the major newspapers not report on something that's the newest state holiday? Mm-hmm. And Juneteenth is the oldest known celebration of freedom in the United States. It's a Saturday. But we also do a theme. We always salute the achievements and accomplishments that African Americans have made to growth and development of the United States. So this year we did the Underground Railroad, and we transformed 79th Street into one of the routes that was closest to the ocean. Posting the signage and everything, I just knew it was newsworthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You might need a fresh opinion on some of the ways, because she has a very new organization, and it's been growing, you know, very fast over the few years that she's been doing it. So I'm just saying, you know, there are always ways. And she, what were you going to say?
From learning and building up relationships with different media personnel, it's who you know and them spreading the word inside their organizations. And if Chicago Defender runs the article, Citizen's gonna run it, because they're connected with one another. And then you have your other Chicago Crusader and Defender, all those new organizations stepping in as well. But if you just come out on your own and you don't know anybody, mm-hmm. I jet out.
I know Corey Hall at the Citizen. They featured Juneteenth some years back, but this was our 10th year. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one was so important. Bill Clinton was invited, and one of our board members, knows him, so he's invited. And my thinking is, had he said yes, I could have sat back across my ankles and just. But
that's probably
his doctor
true.
Doctor kind of restricted his movements. He said.
So, so Listine has put on the table two different, really interesting events, right? Of different kinds, right? The first is a Real Men Read event, right? Which is an innovative initiative, right? It is event-based, right? But it's also part of a campaign. I've heard of many of these Real Men, fill in the blank, right? Real Men, what are the other ones? Real Men,
Real Men Cook.
Yeah, that's what's coming up, yeah. Yeah, right. So it's an event, but it's also part of an ongoing campaign, right? And it's an innovative idea, right? It's not necessarily self-evident from the title, everything that's involved, although the title is great and catchy and all those other things. The second event is an annual celebration, right? Which has some history, which has some numbers, which has, you know, a cadre of people who attend, right? And these two events have to be approached in two different ways, right? In terms of publicity. So in terms of going through a press release, right, and sort of drafting a press release, should we start, let's start with the annual celebration, right? Since that's what we were talking about most recently. And I think that what Sophia, is that okay?
Array.
Okay, I'm sorry. What Array was saying about a fresh perspective, right? And what Vanessa was saying about, is Vanessa okay? Okay, and what Vanessa was saying about who you know and who's gonna be there, right? And what you have even said about celebrity, all those things are factors. But how do you work it out? I mean, this is a suit, you're gonna have another one this coming year, right? So tell us a little bit more about the Juneteenth celebration, and then let's spend a little bit of time brainstorming about ways to highlight the newsworthiness of the event, right? To talk about a fresh perspective, right? And then I think what we're gonna try to do is write some sort of a short, concise press release for it, right? So that we can practice some of the other things that are in the handout, right? Keeping it short, some of the things that are part of the written word and not just a part of sort of brainstorming. Okay, so let's go ahead and do that. Anybody who wants to start out?
Who was your audience? Who covered it and who didn't, the Juneteenth event?
Normally we do two events. On the 16th, Thursday before, the actual Saturday of the holiday, we have a Freedom Ball. We encourage people to dress in clothing from that period. So we dress as the newly freed slaves would dress in that time period, with the long aprons and the freedom shoes and the dresses and all that. We make the clothing, we put it on, we encourage people to come with it on. We also honor Chicagoans for their contribution or their commitment to freedom. And each year we honor another people. We've named the awards after people who have passed on, but such as the Ella Benson Media Award, the Lorraine Dixon, who was the first supporter of our event, but she has an award. And then we go down the line, the Fletcher for James Fletcher, who was at the South Shore Bank, who gave a lot of monetary support to struggling businesses and to the schools. It's very strong supporter of education. And those kind of things, we give those awards out. Then we serve a meal they would have served in those days, fried chicken, fried corn, black eyed peas, cornbread, peach cobbler, those yummy hungry. Those kinds of things, we serve a meal like that. And then we have God's Game, which is a group of young people. I think she has about 60 young people. They dress in period clothing with the plows, and we do a lot of research, bringing a lot of stuff back from that time period to greet people as they come into the ball. What else did we do?
Who covered it?
At the Culture Center, South Shore Culture Center.
Who covered it?
Who successfully covered it for you? Nobody this year. We've had coverage in the prior years because we always ask a TV personality to be an MC. I found that's the best way to get coverage.
Okay. Okay. You didn't get coverage in local and ethnic press either?
The South Shore Community newspaper, we got pictures. It's wonderful. I mean, they did a wonderful
After the
spread.
Fact.
No, during the ball, they were there for the ball. But we normally get TV coverage if we ask. And we had asked a personality, and I can't think who it was now. We asked the personality to be, and they couldn't. And so we were going after another, and it just got, we were trying to do so much with our transformation of 79th Street. Our news event was about the bands of the parade, and the two of them got all mixed up together, till the person who was supposed to be doing the inviting of finding another media MC didn't do it.
That's why. So
and
the ball
so
kind
we didn't
of
get that, but I sent out some press releases, and she was supposed to send out press releases. We've been covered in the Trib. The Sun Times did a little blurb. They mention us with a little blurb. I mean, just our name that we're going to be doing something, but not in detail about the Underground Railroad, because this year our theme focused on the Underground Railroad along the ocean. So, and our next year is going to focus on the Underground Railroad going through Illinois. So all our students, we have an expression freedom competition where the students write. And we had a young man who was 7 years old who played violin. And we had everything for a wonderful celebration. We had living statues where the God's Game portrayed different scenes from that time period. They showed an enslaved African sitting on a table with the chains on it, so that when people came through, it would take them back to remember exactly what occurred. They had a woman with her children where she had been sold. Then they brought to the table what they exchanged for these slaves that they bought, the beads and the things that they exchanged for them. And it's just a lot of, we thought, good stuff, but.
No, it probably wasn't, the error probably wasn't in the program. You know, I don't think it's that your program lacked. It sounds like it was great, you know, but just that your media person was not secured, and then when the person couldn't make it, there wasn't another person secure.
Well, I just want to interject here, just very quickly, is that there are several different things that you've mentioned in your description of the event, right, that are really good to highlight in press releases, but also in general, right, in doing cold calling, like we're going to discuss next week, in contacting the media in general, right? Here are a bunch of aspects that you should pay attention to. So one of them is celebrity, right? And you've talked about celebrity, and celebrity is something that's really easy, right? It's kind of a surefire way to, you know, if you have Bill Clinton somewhere, the press will show up, right? But most of the time, we don't have Bill Clinton, right, to, you know, be the face of our event, you know? And that's okay. You can still get coverage, right? One of the things that can also help, right, and can stand in for celebrity is novelty, right? So what you mentioned, you had a seven-year-old child who, I forgot what you said, this who played the violin, right?
And the mom, as a matter of fact, the Trib did a full front page story on the young man. I didn't know he was there till the dad said, look, we got this young man and he plays the violin. So we brought him up to the front and said, play. And the little boy said, okay.
Right. But just as an example, you know, if you had known, and it's good to try to know these things, right? So, you know, to find out, you know, especially if you have a large and intricate program as you did, a very interesting sounding program, to find out what all everybody does and what people are going to bring to the table. Now, of course, when you have so many things going on, there's going to be a lot with improvisation and like the moment that happens. But whatever you can know, right, about what your event is going to be, right, is really powerful, you know, in terms of knowledge that you can have. So, but just as sort of a principle, if you don't have a celebrity, novelty can often work in a similar way, right? Like you said, the Tribune did a front page story on the 7-year-old violin player. Who doesn't like to read about, you know, amazing kids, you know, or watch them. That's the other thing, is that you're describing an event which has a very strong visual component, right? Not all events are gonna be very attractive to television stations, right? I mean, everybody wants to be on TV, right? A lot of us get most of our news and, you know, cultural information from television. But often events that don't have a strong visual component or celebrities, right, won't draw the television media. I mean, and that's okay, because, you know, there you can get your word out through the three other media as well, or mediums as well.
Mm-hmm. What I wanted to ask you, did you do a media advisory before you did the press release? Because the media advisory has a long description of your event, which will put the reporters on guard as to this is about to come, that you have a whole page of what's going on, what's taking place, to who, what, when, where, and why in the body of the media advisory. Then you follow it up with a press release, which is a simple description of what's going on right before the event. And I normally kick them out two or three times a week. I flood their news desk with that, so it can be also once in general, because if it's going in at night or early in the morning, like you say, they may not be there and will miss it, but if it's constantly, I know Operation Push, mm-hmm. it's like, oh my God, won't they stop?
Yeah.
But they get the word out because they constantly jet those press releases through.
That's really a fantastic suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other thing that I just wanted to highlight are some things that people have already brought up, right? This event has been going on for a long time, so you also have a great number of people who are going to attend, right? That's not always the case, particularly with startup organizations or first-time events. That's not always something that you can peg in advance as an asset of your event. But if you have it, use it, right? If you know that 400 people are gonna be showing up, right, at the South Shore Cultural Center for this amazingly intricate novel event, then that's something that has to be included in your media communications, right? And the last thing that I wanted to talk about was be sure, and this is something that's also already come up, but be sure to use, you don't have to make a beeline for the Sun-Times and the Tribune, right? Or the Defender and the Reader, right? There are tons of little newspapers in Chicago. And they are an amazing resource. They're also easier to access in terms of the reporters are easier to access, right? They're usually more concerned with very local things that are going on, right? So they're more receptive initially, right, to what you're trying to pitch to them. And there's also a saturation and relational point that people have been talking about in terms of if, you know, the Final Call and the Hyde Park Herald and the Daily Southtown and, you know, all of these, you know, smaller newspapers are covering your event, right? And, you know, have been covering your event for the last several years, it gives you, you know, copy to go to reporters from larger newspapers with. It says, this is already a media event, you're behind. Reporters hate to be told that, right? That they're missing the ball, right? Or they're like dropping, you know. There's also a relational effect. So if the Defender covers it, then the Citizen will cover it. If, you know, you know, because journalists travel in packs, that's true, right? So, and they're all media consumers, right? Usually news junkies. So, you know, don't be afraid to use, and not just don't be afraid to use, be sure to use the small newspapers and send out, spend as much time on them and with them as you would for what we think of as like more major newspapers.
Pan TV, advertised on Pan Free TV. I don't know how I got on there, but it was free for me.
Okay.
And it ran for only once for 30 days, so that's a good thing.
And it reaches a lot of people, yes. Actually.
Yeah. Do you have any suggestions for when your event, or with the subject to your press release, is at a bad time of the year? And I'm going to use this as an example.
Right.
I think Juneteenth is at a terrible time for an event because mm-hmm. it's at the end of school, it's just when festivals are starting, mm-hmm. it's when everybody's thinking about vacation-y kind of things, and so the newspapers are busy mm-hmm. focusing on those things. You got a lot of competition. Like if you were gonna do something, you wouldn't do it then, you'd have done it earlier or later, but I understand you can't, it's a holiday. So it is what it is, yeah. But what do you do when you're stuck with bad timing in that? You know, maybe your event's, well, at a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
Any suggestions?
Yeah. Did you want to speak directly to this point?
Directly related to like the spin or the angle that you use. I mean, with something like Juneteenth, mm-hmm. I mean, I think above everything else, you have to put it out there and let people know why it's so important you know about Juneteenth. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people that, you know, when you say Juneteenth, they're like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think which may help you is that you kind of spin it that way, like, hey, you know, Juneteenth, this is what it is, you know. And this is why you need to come and celebrate this with us, because it is a very important part of your culture, your history.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, being that it is, you know, at a bad time of the year, where, you know, the media, you may want to tell the media, hey, this is important and this is newsworthy because this, especially to this particular people, this particular culture, I mean, and then, you know, you can go from there, but you need to, you know, I think you need to put a spin on it and say, well, hey, this is why this is important, this is why people need to attend. And you will not only, I mean, I know it's at the end of school, people are like, okay, you know, I'm tired of studying, you know, it's vacation time, but you will, you know, it will be a learning process above anything else.
Speaking of, let's focus a little bit more closely for the next very few minutes on the angle. So, we are all in this with Latisse, and we are going to decide what the angle is for the 11th annual Juneteenth celebration, okay? What's the why? What makes it newsworthy? Right? How are we going to spin it to make it sound as amazing as it is, right? To reflect the intricacy and historical elements and excitement, right, and fun of the event. Okay, what's the angle?
Can you back up? What's the purpose? Is it to get a reporter to come to the event? Is that the purpose? Or is it to get the word out so people will come out? What's the purpose?
Well, the mode that we're... Well, it's both, but the mode we're working through, right? The mode we're working through is the press release. So this is specifically for reporters.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
The press release intended to get a reporter to come out.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Writing announcements, right, which also go out through newspapers, is slightly different, right? But the audience is different. It's not for reporters. It's for the general community. Yeah. But this is to capture the attention of a reporter and to get them there because she's already got the community, mm-hmm. right? The community's there. Okay. So let's work on that for a few minutes, and then we're going to write a short draft press release.
I would probably emphasize the historical relevance as the focal point of the press release.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would saturate the media with whom I exactly want to participate. And mostly it would probably be youth. And although school is out, we have summer school year round. We have excellent parks in the city of Chicago that have programs year-round that could easily be tied to participating, whether it's a bus trip or a field trip through the buses, through the park district. It could also be tied with some of the projects that like are done with the Field Museum for their project that they have, the Center for Cultural Understanding,
mm-hmm.
The group that I work with there. We do field trips. Partners for that organization. It's about 30 historical societies and museums.
But why do we have to cover it now, right? Why cover it this year, especially for an annual event you have to?
I would say now because typically schools, at the beginning of the school year, each classroom has about one to three field trips per year that each class has a bus.
Yeah, but like why this year as opposed to like, is it the 50th anniversary?
So need to know in advance what they're going to be doing throughout the summer. You see what I'm saying? So you could target now.
This year is significant.
Right, you would target now.
We're going to take the route of the Underground Railroad that went through Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are people who own homes that one lady shared with me that a friend owns a house in, was it Wheaton or one of the suburbs, that they cannot tear down the basement wall because it was used to as part of the Underground Railroad. So, and they're very proud of it. And they come in, they take you downstairs to show you that this house was there. There's a house in Springfield that the General Assembly has allocated money for to preserve it because it was part of the Underground Railroad. And so we're going to, the 14 schools that are involved with us will be researching to find out what cities, what towns, what hamlets that had underground all the way through the state up until you get into Wisconsin or wherever it's going, that led to Canada. So we will be researching that along the way. And all down 79th Street, the transformation this year will be, all those towns will be named, and the posters that follow an escapee, once they escape, how they describe that person, we will put that on the poster so that folks can read. And people were asking me as we were putting the boards up, what's that about? And then they were coming up, young people were coming up and reading. And that's our purpose, is to teach as well as entertain. Of course, we had the South Shore Drill Team. We had our first ever Battle of the Bands with King High School, CBS, and CPS has bought into it. So we're expecting to get more and more bands to participate in it. But it's that teaching element. And to me, that was important because that's why I put all the time and energy in it, begin to educate us about ourselves.
Okay, so education and entertainment, right? And then what about, so we said why now, right? So why now in terms of, so this year the event you're trying to highlight is the state of Illinois and the path of the Underground Railroad. You said you're doing research on it. Is that unique? Are you all the only ones who are sort of doing this kind of activity in the state of Illinois?
There's an author, Glenette Tilly Turner, who has written books about the Underground Railroad to Illinois, one for adults and then some for children, and she was at our event this year. So what we want to do is to get her to go out to the various schools and talk about it, but also to have her help us to develop the route that we should take through the state of Illinois so that we better understand it, and that we put up some things that are realistic and meaningful for the young people who will be involved in the people.
So who's going to be involved in the route tour? So I'm still trying to answer the question, why now? What about this event is unique and happening right now? Like, this is the stuff that they need to know.
That's what I was going to mention. Being that you do this every single year, your title has to be catchy and different and standoffish from everyone else, because Juneteenth, there's a lot of activities going on, and one would associate it with another. Oh, that's another event, that's a barbecue there, this is a Juneteenth event. But your title has to be, bam, what's going to make people come to this as opposed to the one that's going on right down the street. So it's pretty much in your title and how you're advertising it, because I know, I'm not going to say I was in competition with anyone, but we had the, in March, Monique Caroline had the Empowerment Women's Conference. Then the very next month, it was the Expo, Black Expo. Then the very next month, it was my event. And then a month after my event, mine was the Women's, My Money, My Body, My Child, at Women's Conference for Social Change. And then right after that, it was Mary Green, Big Ebony thing. So who wants to keep coming to conference every single month? Oh, that's another business empowerment. That's another one. So you have to put a spin on it that make it totally stand out different from the rest in order to get your people to come to your event. And mine was the social change. No one was dealing with these issues of social change in their women's conference. Everything was about money, wealth building, empowering, building up your self-esteem, that type of thing. But no one was dealing with child exploitation, predatory lending, and kinship, all these different workshops that we had. So I knew I had tapped into a whole different resource of people because no one was doing what I was doing. And like, your event is wonderful. No one's doing that.
Nobody does what we do. We do the only Juneteenth celebrations. Everybody else is just barbecue, a stage, and some things. We tied ours into the achievements and accomplishments that we have made to growth and development of this company. And every year that we do our Juneteenth celebration, whatever our theme is, every float in the parade has to salute somebody who's involved in whatever it is, like the Underground Railroad, Harriet Tubman, everybody else had to be people who were involved in the Underground Railroad, the Quakers, the churches. You had to carry one of those on your float. And we asked our schools to have their young people to portray whoever they featured. So if they did Harriet Tubman, and we had Harriet Tubman with a shotgun out there, and this girl is quite a good actress, and she was out there. When we did the Civil Rights Movement, that was another, we did that 2 years in a row. People didn't know that Muhammad Ali was involved in the Civil Rights Movement. One of our schools, Powell, had a float, and they had a young man dressed as the boxer, and a little girl carrying his side, round one, round two, so that people would begin to get that idea. So folks were standing, you were being entertained, but you were being educated at the same time.
There's your angle. You said you have the only Juneteenth celebration that combines education and entertainment, that combines integrates, you said, I think, the achievement and development of the African American community in America.
Is the reason why Juneteenth is a state holiday, because I asked Barack Obama when he introduced the bill to the Senate, and then Mattie Hunter came along and sponsored the bill that made it a state holiday. So we have that, but it's still.
I guess my question to you was, is there anything in your Juneteenth title that's attracting the people to come to make it different from the other Juneteenth events that's going on out there?
Yes, our Juneteenth title this year was Journeying Back Down the Freedom Trail. And so that was a salute to the Underground Railroad. The 11th annual celebration will be Journeying, following in the footsteps of freedom through the state of Illinois, I think that's it. So it's always whatever it is we're doing.
Who follows in the footsteps of freedom? Everybody who attends Juneteenth, or your organization, or, because this is part of what you
so
can.
Anybody who attends Juneteenth, we take them.
Okay, so
them
everyone, great.
The footsteps of freedom, because we take them there.
Okay, so there's a participatory aspect, right?
The other thing that we do is we do a salute to the police officers. After 9/11, we began to honor our police officers. We gave them a plaque. 34th District serve our community, okay. So we honor them. Dana Starks, who is the highest ranking African American in the police department, is normally out. This year, Cortez Trotter.
I just want to highlight a few of the things that you said from your information. Because the thing about press releases and getting the word out is that we can't, in a press release, you don't have, 15 minutes to explain everything that you're going to do, right, in all of its intricacy and, interestingness. But you did say a few things, that I think we should keep in mind as we're drafting our sample press release, right? According, again, to the sort of guidelines that we have here, you talked about your celebration being the only celebration that, does these things. That's a really great, angle. I mean, that's the angle, right? It's the only one that does it. It's the only one that's doing it right now, right? And you have to come up what that it is, right? Is it achievement and development? Is it education, entertainment, and the opportunity to participate, right? Your event is longstanding and celebrated by the community, right? You always have people who are, prominent members of the community come, right? So including that kind of information is important information, right, to include in your initial pull, right, your initial punch, the initial sort of angle and first the angle that you include in the first paragraph of your press release, right? Also, what Vanessa was saying about the title is very important, right? And I know you already have the title, but the title is long. If there was a way that you can, not necessarily in the press release, right, because you can include the entire title in the press release, but make certain parts stand out. So the first three words you said was following freedom's footsteps, right? That's evocative, right? It's sort of, right to the point. It includes the participatory aspect that you talked about, right? And that means everybody who gets to, who comes to the event follows in these footsteps, right? Okay, which is something that you can kind of explicate more clearly in the what. All right, so, and that's just a few things. There's a ton of things, right? There are lots of ways to do this. So what I want us to do is to take about 10 or 12 minutes to sketch out a draft press release. You know, don't be afraid to be, you know, kind of creative. It's just an exercise, so Tease is not bound by anything that we come up with here. It's just sort of ideas.